This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm very excited to introduce to you from the great state of Texas, Donald Brown. Here's Donald.
Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Once again, we want to thank you, thank God for each of you today out there in BPN Radio Land. Again, we want to give a special thanks to our pastor, his dear wife, Jean, for being so gracious to, again, allow us to minister here at BPN Radio. We are continuing our series in battling unbelief. Once again, I'd like to say that for those of you that have friends, or just you, yourselves, if you want to get the copies of this series or these teachings, by all means, get with Rick Gentry, bpnradio@gmail.com, or just give him a call at 214-918-8707. Today we want to talk to you from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. I want to use as a topic today, fear and anxiety. Now, let me hang a bridge between last Sunday's text and our concern today with the unbelief of anxiety. In Hebrews 3 and 12, it says, "Take care, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, leading you to fall away from the living God." And verse 14 says, "For we have shared in Christ, if we hold our first confidence firm to the end." So, in other words, the evidence that you have come to share in Christ, that you are united to Him in saving faith, is that you hold that confidence firm to the end. Perseverance in faith is necessary for salvation. You see, when a person is truly converted, the heart is changed so that now life is lived by faith, according to Galatians 2 and 20. You see, the new birth introduces a person into a life of warfare, and that warfare is called the gift of faith, according to 2 Timothy 4 and 7 and 1 Timothy 6 and 12. But here in Hebrew 3 and 12, it is called the battle against unbelief. Take care. That's the vigilance of battle. Brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief. Here are the enemy in the warfare. And leading you to fall away from the living God. Here's the warning against not taking the warfare serious. So in other words, the most basic battle of our life is the battle to believe in the living God and not to allow our hearts to become an evil heart of unbelief. Because if unbelief in the living God gets the upper hand in our life, then the results can be a hardening that makes us unwilling to repent and thus cast us off from the grace of God. Now, this will happen. This will not happen to those who are truly in Christ. Those who are truly born of God take the battle seriously and draw on the power of God to fight it and win it with persevering faith. That is what God promises. According to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, it says, "He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." So, when we understand that unbelief is the root of evil and the essence of evil, that's where I want the bridge then that I want to hang between last week's text and this week's text is the truth that beneath our battle against evil in our heart is the battle against unbelief. All our sinning grows out of unbelief in the living God and what He has said to us in Scripture. You see, unbelief as the root of anxiety. Now, today's text, I want to illustrate this with the specific evil condition of heart, namely anxiety. So, let's stop for a moment and think, how many different sinful actions and attitudes come from anxiety? Anxiety about finances can give rise to coveting, greed, hoarding, and stealing. Anxiety about succeeding at some task can make you irritable, abrupt, have a bad temper, become unfriendly. Anxiety about relationships can make you withdraw and indifferent and uncaring about other people. anxiety about how someone will respond to you can make you cover over the truth and lie about things. So if anxiety could be conquered, a lot of sin would be overcome. But let's look at the question, what is the root of anxiety and how can it be severed? Well, the answer, that we go to our text in Matthew 6. And four times in this text, Jesus says that we should not be anxious. Matthew 6 and 25, he says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Matthew 6 and 27, he says, and which of you by being anxious can add one cubit to his span of life? Matthew 6 and 31, he says, therefore, do not be anxious. In Matthew 6 and 34, it says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Now, the verse that makes the root of anxiety explicit is Matthew 6 and 30. And it says, but if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? In other words, Jesus says that the root of anxiety is lack of faith in our Heavenly Father. As unbelief gets the upper hand in our hearts, one of the results is anxiety. So when Hebrews says, take heed, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief, it includes this meaning. Take heed, lest there be in you an anxious heart of unbelief. Anxiety is one of the evil conditions of the heart that comes from unbelief. Much anxiety, Jesus says, comes from little faith. Now, this is the kind of connection we are going to see again and again in the weeks to come. The root of a sinful condition of the heart is unbelief in the living God. So now, there are two kinds of disturbed responses to this truth. Now, I can think of two kinds of disturbed responses to this truth. And let me just tell you what they are and then give a biblical response before we go on to the battle against the unbelief of anxiety. This is not good news. Our response would go like this. This is not good news. In fact, it is very discouraging to learn that what I thought was a mere struggle with an anxious disposition is, in fact, a far deeper struggle with whether I believe God or not. Now, my response to this is to agree, but then to disagree. Now, suppose you had been having pain in your stomach and had been struggling with medicines and diets of all kinds to no avail. Then suppose that your doctor tells you after a routine visit that you have cancer in your small intestines. Would that be good news? You say emphatically not. And I agree. But let me ask the question another way. Are you glad that the doctor discovered the cancer while it is still treatable? And that indeed it can be very successfully treated? And you'd say, yes, I'm very glad that the doctor found the real problem. And again, I would agree. So the news that you have cancer is not good news because having cancer is good. It is good news because knowing what is really wrong is good news, especially when it can be treated successfully. That's what it's like to learn that the real problem behind anxiety is unbelief in the promises of God. It's not good news because the cancer of unbelief is good. It's good news knowing what is really wrong is good, especially because unbelief can be treated so successfully by our great physician. So, I want to stress that finding out the connection between our anxiety and our unbelief is in fact very good news because it is the only way to begin the battle with the real cause of our sin and get the victory that God can give us by the therapy of this word and his spirit. So the question, how can I have any assurance at all? Well, there's another possible response to the truth that our anxiety is rooted in our unbelief in God's promises. It goes like this. I have to deal with feelings of anxiety almost every day. And so I feel like my belief in God must be totally inadequate. So I wonder if I can have any assurance of being saved at all. You see, being faithless versus having faith attacked. Now, let's suppose you are in a car race and your enemy, who doesn't want you to finish the race, throws mud on your windshield. The fact that you temporarily lose sight of your goal and start to swerve does not mean that you are going to quit the race. And it certainly doesn't mean that you are on the wrong racetrack. Otherwise, the enemy wouldn't bother you at all. What it means is that you should turn on your windshield wipers and use your windshield washers. You see, when anxiety strikes, this doesn't mean that we are faithless. It means our faith is being attacked. Now, when anxiety strikes and blurs out visions of God's glory and the greatness of the future that he plans for us, this does not mean that we are faithless or that we will not make it to heaven. It means our faith is being attacked. At first blow, our belief in God's promises may sputter and swerve. But whether we stay on track and make it to the finish line depends on whether we set in motion a process of resistance. Whether we fight back against anxiety, will we turn on the windshield wipers, and will we use our windshield washers? Let me give a testimony of Scripture. Psalms 56 and 3 says, "When I'm afraid, I put my trust in thee." Now notice it does not say, "I never struggle with fear." Fear strikes and the battle begins. So the Bible doesn't assume that true believers will have no anxiety. Instead, the Bible tells us how to fight when they strike. Now, for example, 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, "Cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you." It doesn't say you will never feel any anxieties to cast on to God. It says, when the mud splatters your windshield and you lose temporary sight of the road and start to swerve in anxiety, turn on your wipers and squirt your windshield washers. You see, to the one who struggles daily with the anxiety, I would respond to the person who has to deal with feelings of anxiety every day is to say, that's more or less normal. The issue is how you deal with them. And the answer to that is you deal with the anxieties by battling unbelief. And you battle unbelief by meditating on God's word and asking for the help of his spirit. You see, the windshield wipers are the promises of God that clears away the mud of unbelief. And the windshield washer fluid is the help of the Holy Spirit. Without the softening work of the Holy Spirit, the wipers of the word just scrape over the blinding clumps of unbelief. So both are necessary, the Spirit and the word. We read the promises of God and we pray for the help of his Spirit. And as the windshield clears so we can see the welfare that God plans for us, according to Jeremiah 29:11, our belief grows strong and the swerving of anxiety smoothes out. You see, overcoming anxiety by battling unbelief. Now let me close by using some illustrations of how battling unbelief overcomes anxiety. I'll use the pattern of Jesus and Paul. Here in our text. We have the illustration of anxiety over food and clothing. Even in our country with its extensive welfare system, anxiety over finances and housing can be very intense. But Jesus says in verse 30 that this is owing to unbelief, O you of little faith. And so this paragraph has at least half a dozen promises in it to battle that unbelief. You see, believe the promise of Jesus and anxiety will evaporate in the warmth of God's care. So, for example, at the end of verse 32, he says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them all, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. You see, this is a spectacular promise. In everything you do at home and at work, put God's purpose first, and he will provide all your need to live for his glory. Believe that promise, and financial anxiety will evaporate in the warmth of God's care. Paul applies the promise to anxiety in Philippians like this. In chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, just like Jesus, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And then in chapter 4 and 19, he gives the promises like Jesus. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You see, the anxieties we may face, and so we follow today the pattern of Jesus and Paul. We battle the unbelief of anxiety with the promises of God. You see, when I'm anxious about some risky new venture or meeting, I battle unbelief with the promise, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand, according to Isaiah 41 and 10. When I'm anxious about my ministry being useless and empty, I fight unbelief with the promise, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it will not come back to me empty, but accomplish that which I purpose and prosper in the things for which I sent it, according to Isaiah 55 and 11. And when I'm anxious about being too weak to do my work, I battle unbelief with the promise of Christ. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness, according to 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. And as your days, so shall your strength be, according to Deuteronomy 33 and 25. When I'm anxious about decisions I have made to make about the future, I battle unbelief with the promise, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you, according to Psalms 32 and 8. And when I'm anxious about facing opponents, I battle unbelief with the promise of God is for us, who can be against us, according to Romans 8 and 31. And when I'm anxious about being sick, I battle unbelief with the promises that tribulation works patience, patient approvedness, and approvedness hope. And hope does not make us ashamed, according to Romans 5, 3 through 5. When I'm anxious about getting old, I battle unbelief with the promise, even to your old age I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and will save, according to Isaiah 46 and 4. When I'm anxious about dying, I battle unbelief with the promises that none of us live to himself and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. So, for to this end, Christ died and rose again that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living, according to Romans 14, 8 through 9. When I'm anxious that I may make shipwreck of faith and fall away from God, battle unbelief with the promise. He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ, according to Philippians 1 and 6. He who calls you is faithful. He will do it, according to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. He is able for all to save those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them, according to Hebrews 7 and 25. And when me and Janice got married, we printed this promise of God in the bedroom. And with these we have, and we will fight off the anxiety of all the unknowns of marriage. And the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed, according to Deuteronomy 31 and 8. So, I urge you in your warfare, take up the book of God, ask the Holy Spirit for help, lay the promises up in your heart and battle on. And remember, the promises of Proverbs 21 and 31, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Let us pray. May the Lord bless us and protect us. May the Lord smile upon us and be gracious unto us. And may the Lord show us his favor and give us his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Donald Brown today on Preaching Sunday. For more information, contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio www.freedomfromfear.com. Sure appreciate everybody listening today. Thank you.